Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the only show that actually is making money. Ladies and gentlemen, before we do anything, I need to pull the handle for one specific reason. On GSN, a.k.a. the Jason Block Network, a show will be coming on called Think Like a Cat.
The Meow Mix Game Show. Let me tell you about this thing that's going into Room 101. There were auditions all over the country with people and their cats.
Oh, shit.
What?
How did I miss this show?
What? Did I say something wrong?
I just looked at my thing and I just completely fucked up.
What's wrong?
We're only going to be live for 15 minutes.
Well, if I may quote the ECW arena,
you fucked up. What happened, Rob?
I wasn't paying attention.
You hit the wrong lever, doofus.
But here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to edit this. See if I can't stretch to 60.
How?
Simple. By
changing
the duration.
You're
going to
slap the lady around.
Okay, so I think...
I don't
know
any way to do it. Easiest way to do it? When we finish the show, delete it, and then you get your hour back, so you can set it up for 8:30.
Huh?
That's the easy way. That's how when I have my Rob Van Dam technical difficulties show.
I got it.
Okay, so are we good with the full hour and archives and all that?
Yes, we are.
Okay, good.
Yay.
All right, so let me...
Now, with that scare out of the way...
Whew!
Let me just do something about Think Like a Cat.
Yeah, okay.
Although me and Jason will be discussing this to great detail on We Love to Interrupt. I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version. Meow!
I'll give it the semi-Cliff Note version. There were auditions all over the country this summer. You had 8 people trying to be with their cats all across the country. The good thing about it is they actually got food donated to animal shelters. The bad thing about it is that you have actually 8 people who wanted to embarrass themselves, who are cat lovers, to try and win, what was it, $100,000 or $1 million?
$1 million.
$1 million if they get 2 matching cat bags. Something to that effect. But you know what? Yuck. Yes, it's litter. Now, so there we go. Rob, back to you, and let's talk about some really important stuff like wrestling.
Well, this show was entitled Babe Like a Cat, according to the book Ring of Fire. We all know who'd be a guest on there.
Patrick Wayne?
Thinking Arn Anderson, or whatever that book was called.
Oh. Anyways, let's introduce our panelists for tonight, who definitely don't need no introduction. First of all, VRM.
48-47 tomorrow. I'm calling it 5-round match. KOTOR wins.
And then we have everybody's favorite Texan, outside of Tony Romo, Typho.
Tomorrow night,
Brock Lesnar becomes UFC World Heavyweight Champion, first round, knockout.
And then we get to everybody's favorite Queen of Hearts, Nikki Haymon.
I want to know if Lesnar can actually take a punch. We know Couture can, so it's going to take at least 3 rounds.
And who wins?
me. Brock Lesnar. Thank you, my dear uncle. Anyway.
And then in the number 4 position is our favorite fourth.
I think Couture is going to win this by decision.
And then, according to what he said on GSN's Catch 21, I was covered with paint. Sadly, it was all red because he embarrassed himself. However, wait. He embarrassed his opponents in the front game and embarrassed himself in the end game. Jason Block.
It all depends on if Lesnar can actually, A, take a punch and Couture can. I'm going to call this Lesnar in round 2 by referee stoppage because he's going to beat Couture into submission, and he's going to fight Frank Mir in a rematch in UFC 93. Nogueira's going to lose to Frank Mir.
I am taking the under, whatever that means.
pleading the fifth, Seidelman.
Yeah, way to push.
Lesnar in 3.
Attaboy.
Be a ref stoppage.
All set, guys.
Well, shall we talk about pick'ems?
Please.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's.
Interesting round of pick'ems this week. As Jason talks to his girlfriend.
No, it's fine. My dad's girlfriend, sorry. You were saying?
It was a very interesting pay-per-view. Very good at least. Pretty balanced. And built what needed to be built. We start off with the X-ranking match. As we take a look here, it says here that... If I have a little trouble talking tonight, it was just that before the show, an hour before the show, there was a police chase all around, right outside my apartment complex. The police ramrodded a bank robber, or so it seems, into a pole.
Ow!
Caught him flush. Car had some sparkage, and the bank robber is in prison. Or so we think. That said, let's move on. X-ranking match, Sanjay Dutt got eliminated first, which leads me to believe that he is injured. And then we have, believe it or not, EY winning, which leaves me in fourth in the cold, and everybody else with a point.
Oh, that's... sucks.
But the most surprising thing is Doug Williams, third in the rankings.
That actually is a surprise. I mean, I was surprised. I hope that he does well, though.
Oh, he'll does well. He has a great finisher in the Chaos Theory.
Ooh.
That rolling German suplex. Then we get to the women's tag match, and everybody's worst fears came alive. Taylor Wilde went over.
God.
Ooh.
They
all...
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It could be worse. You could have went into this match with the belt.
That would be worse. Jason BRM got shut out on that one. And the rest of us get points via spite. Rhino and Sheik Abdul Bashir, whoever called the Shane Sewell referee interference got it right. But no extra points for you. But VRM, Typho, Fourth, and they're the only people that got it right. Then we get to the TNA tag title match. Anybody with a brain would have picked it right, which is Beer Money winning, because they're trying to book the... they are doing something with Motor City Machine Guns, which is not kosher. Losing.
Yeah.
So everybody but DJ got it right. Then we get to the Booker T... Then we get to the big main event mafia matches. All four of them. Booker T versus Christian Cage. Booker T officially wins. Officially brings in the belt. And everybody but Fourth got that one right.
Blame me for picking the dark horse.
Literally.
Angle versus Abyss. Would we all be in agreement this was match of the night?
Pretty much.
Yep.
Angle's
yep.
a sick bastard. He just is.
Well, all of us but DJ picked the sick bastard to win. So now he can go to the main event mafia and start hunting for gutter sluts, a.k.a. Sharmell.
Yes.
Reality sex in the impact zone.
Yes.
This week on Spike.
No sex in the impact zone. I mean the champagne room.
Win! Win! There we go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And speaking of champagne rooms, we have Joe versus Nash.
Okay.
Vinny Vegas. Champagne rooms in Vegas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Remind me to throw Vinny Vegas in a room 101.
And Oz.
Yeah. And the Master Blasters. Both guys look good in this match. Especially Joe. Kevin Nash proved that he could still go when he cheats. Well, he cheated to win. VRM, myself, and DJ got this one right.
Well, hey, look. We could dream, could we?
Not in this day and age.
Yeah, I know.
World title match, Sting versus AJ.
Another good match from what I saw the clips on Impact.
Yeah. And VRM, what is that about history?
Yeah, well, apparently Sting learned from his mistakes.
Well, Sting won the match, and the main event mafia went 4-for-4, so I'm going to let a special main event friend of the main event mafia let you guys know. Oh, I can't. Patrick Wayne is gone. Because I had the You Win sound and hasn't played for a while, so I guess it goes away. Oh, well. Which is good news for Jason. He'd have a coronary because it's Patrick Wayne.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
See?
Dude, I'm on my first cup of coffee going for second. You don't want a hyper-caffeinated, angry wrestling fan. No.
or an angry game show fan, at that matter.
Uh-huh. No,
which means we can pretty much anybody on goldenroad.net.
Yeah, pretty much. So who wins, Mr. Solomon?
Well, not you.
Me.
No, 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 no.
Jason Forth and DJ tied for last with 5. While me, VRM, and Nikki wound up with a sultry 6. Whereas Typho wound up with a Yankees budgeted 7. Typho is your winner.
Finally, I can hold the belt up all by myself for once.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hold it for all of 10 days, but that's fine.
And now it's time for the TNA post-game report. Here is our ringside reporter, Jason. I'll take Paul Lind for the block.
Well, thank you. Could you lower the music, please? Because this is kind of important. Thank you. It all started after the Turning Point pay-per-view on PWInsider.com, which is actually a very good site to read news like this. Mike Johnson reported that Jay Rezzo, a.k.a. Christian Cage, was telling everybody that Turning Point pay-per-view was his last performance in TNA on pay-per-view. He also stated that he was definitely coming back home to the WWE, and Nikki Hayman started rejoicing, as well as a lot of other wrestling fans, because his TNA run was pretty much meh. You know, meh would be a good point for it.
Well, for the first year, it was pretty darn good.
But then afterwards, what happened? Anyway, so the news kept breaking, and they were saying there had been negotiations with both TNA and WWE. But then we saw Impact on Thursday, where basically, Nikki, you and I saw it together, correct?
Correct.
And Nikki was trying to analyze it from both directions. Why would they put a new video open for him if he was going away? But as you saw, he pretty much got his ass kicked. Now, he could go one of two ways. Either they're setting him up for a revenge angle, or he's coming home. Now, Mike Johnson stated this, I believe, as of today, that there is an offer on the table from WWE for Christian and a.k.a. Christian Cage. So I put it to the panel. Where is he going? And we'll talk about afterwards if he's going, where do you put him on WWE? So, Rob, is he staying? Is he going? What's he doing?
Mark and me wants him to go to Ring of Honor.
Okay.
But
however,
it was a joke, Jason. It was a joke.
Oh, okay. Christian and Ring of Honor would kick ass too. Don't get me wrong.
Yes. Just imagine the brutal matches between him and the American drag queen Bryan Danielson.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa!
I hope that was another.
Okay.
He's a fellow Washingtonian, so I have right to rib him.
Okay. But where do you think he's going?
Oh, he's going definitely back to WWE. What I would do with him if I was Vince, I'd have him sit out for a while. You know, train, help get some motivation in the guys in FCW. Because if you've seen the FCW product, it's meh.
Hey, that's
so
nicely.
Of course, it's a fucking pile of shit. That's what it is.
Oh, shit.
If you want me to put it nicely, it's a fucking pile of shit.
All right.
It's not
wow.
Piled up
not
anymore.
Not sugar-coated for us, Mr. Seidelman. Tell us how you really feel.
It's WCW 2000 on Double Dare 2000 bad.
Good
Ooh.
God. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Ooh,
so outside of inspiring FCW...
So 3 months in FCW, then Vince says, okay, It's been 2 years, so we're going to do some hype videos for you. We're going to start you off in ECW to get you back in the swing of things. Live for a little while. We're going to bring you back as a face to start. And then when Edge comes back, and he's going one-on-one with The Undertaker, you come in, you cost The Undertaker the win. And thus, La Familia definitely becomes La Familia.
You mean the reuniting of Edge and Christian?
Edge, Christian, Big Show, Vicky. That is a stable everyone. That is a faction that is a faction anybody can be proud of.
But where does it leave the greatest rising star on SmackDown, Zack Ryder?
Oh, God.
Well, to be honest, I think Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder are going to be future endeavored soon.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of a different tack on this. He is going to come back to WWE without question. But this is what I would do. You put him in the feud that should have been done in 2005 in the video that they keep showing. They showed this week when John Cena came to Raw, which is Christian versus John fucking Cena, and you blow the roof off the place. And you put him as face, you put him as heel. Christian versus Jericho. Christian versus Orton. Christian versus JBL. Christian versus anybody on Raw right now. That's the place you need him to be. And Christian will make 2009 an up year for the WWE. Plain and simple.
And now we turn to fourth.
I think he's going to go to WWE, and he's going to have the role Jericho had for many years, that he'll get a shot at the title from time to time, but he's mainly an upper mid-card guy for them.
Nikki?
He's coming back to WWE. He's coming to Raw. I wish they weren't guiding Cena Batista for WrestleMania 25, because I'd love it to be Cena Christian and Edge Triple H with the end of WrestleMania 25, Edge and Christian holding a belt and embracing in the middle of the ring. This should have happened 3 years ago.
And instead, we got Cena Batista.
Cena Batista can even hold for a little bit longer. Cena Christian has got to happen at some point. If they don't want to do it at WrestleMania, then build it for. Then let Christian bounce around the mid card, get his WWE cred back. We put him up against Cena at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
and he gets the title.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Then we go to Typho.
I think he is coming back to WWE. Two, I think Tomko is coming with him.
Yeah, that is also the rumor as well, yes.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And what I would do, this is what I would do with him. I would send him and Tomko to SmackDown. I would put them in some kind of feud type situation with Vicky Guerrero that becomes the catalyst for Edge's return. And of course ends in some big screw job on The Undertaker.
I buy that.
That's not a bad creative situation either.
But we gotta have one match for that feud. The battle of the little guys and the managers. Little guys and bodyguards. Christian
Tomko
and Tomko.
Bam,
no. Christian and Tomko versus the Brian Kendrick and Ezekiel Jackson.
I'd watch that.
So would I.
I would love that.
Ahmed Johnson. Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, now call. With talent, maybe.
They come in fierce size. Just saying.
Well, now,
go ahead, Helm.
Now, a serious question here, guys. How much do you think Christian would get, and how long do you think the deal would be at this point? We're talking probably maybe $500,000 a year. Or is that too high?
Maybe a little less.
Big 3 years, big downside. Guaranteed title shot, guaranteed title run.
We need to hear from VRM.
Oh.
Yes.
I think he's going back. I think they can do a little mini feud maybe with Cena in the preparation for the Cena Batista. They could drop it in for during the month between Survivor Series and Armageddon, or Armageddon and Royal Rumble, if he's back by then. If not, they could stall, like Nikki said, until the summer.
Now, let me ask you something. How big of this makes the shift of power per se between WWE and TNA? How big of a move is this? Do you guys think?
In the big picture, not that big at all.
No.
It's probably going to be bigger than Ron Killings, but not as big as Braden Walker.
Oh.
Hey.
Isn't this the first person to go from TNA back to the WWE though? Isn't
no,
I thought that was Killings.
It was Killings.
Oh, Killings. Okay.
No, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the third. So, all right. But I would think, honestly speaking, this is the biggest name player, though. No?
Him and Jeff, that's about the same line.
Okay.
I'll give you, him and Jeff are about the same level.
Yes, but now Jeff Hardy has gone all Jigsaw on us, as we saw this week.
That was awesome! I like it. I like it. I'm tired.
I think I called it. I think this is heel turn.
No. If Jeff Hardy, you're doing it weird. And saying Jeff Hardy being weird is something.
Yeah. We've never seen it that way.
Now, come on. I'm talking that he has even gone past his 2003, look at me, I'm hopped up on heroin days.
Oh, jeez. By the way,
and,
Rob, we're still winning that bet, Rob. Trust me on it.
Yes.
Oh, and as a side note from the thing that brought this bet into place, sometime after I said Lena should be fired, she got fired.
Hey, you know, that's... Let me tell you something. But in all joking aside, now to end this, and then I will hand it back off to Mr. Seidelman. How big of a move is this for the WWE if they get him back?
No, not a big move at all. Not in the big picture, actually. It'll be great for like 6 months, but I take that back. It would be good because Cage is young. He's what, 32,
33? 34, I believe, correct?
Yeah, you can get another good 5-10 years out of him. With Batista in 5 years, he'll be what, 50?
Getting close.
Five at least.
Because.
Unless he finds a youth code.
The fountain of youth can be found in the tomb of the ancient kings.
Oh, thank you. Legends of the Hidden Temple. Yes, thank you. But you know what? I actually think this is going to be a very big move for WWE because you cannot rely on Cena forever.
The injuries he's had over the past 2-3 years, no.
And you're going to need other people to take the workload. You know, Shawn Michaels ain't going to be there forever. Triple H ain't going to be there forever. Chris Jericho, is the MVP this year. Edge is going to be around for a while. You know, you're going to need somebody else. Christian's the guy right now.
And think about it, Jer, if this gig with Fuse works really well, I mean, Redemption Song is really good.
I've watched it. It's a decent reality show.
I like it.
Everybody watch... We get from a decent reality show to another decent reality show if you have an open mind. Nikki's favorite eye candy is on Hulk Hogan's Wrestling tomorrow.
Edge? Oh, wait.
No. Somebody who actually has an ass.
And I hate to say it, but I have a friend who is bi and looks at him and says, that is not the ass of a straight man. Why are you looking at the Meister's ass anyway? And he said, I tapped that. I said, shut up and let me watch my match.
Good grief. Good God. But, so, Rob, that's the TNA postgame. Back to you.
Thank you, Jason. I would take Joan Rivers for the block. Actually, in your case, it'd be Jason. I'll take Vivica A. Fox for the block.
Oh, good grief! Thank God, that's a bit of an upgrade.
What kind of block is that now?
Vivica A. Fox versus Joan Rivers.
Yeah, but I was making a different joke, and right. I will probably get thrown off the show if I keep going.
All right.
WWE Financials, we have more releases.
What were there, 6 or 7 this week?
Yeah, if that. Lenny Yada was one of them. Armando Estrada is one of them.
I didn't hear that one, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised. I'm sorry. And I would have been a better general manager of ECW.
So there!
No, he was also the fault of Knock Knock.
Who's there?
Brandon Walker. Now I'm going to get you released. Now where are the donuts?
That's right,
Matt.
James Curtis.
Hey, Armando had abs. I don't know who he stole them from, but he had them.
At least they're not bedazzled abs like Johnny Morrison, thank goodness.
You make that sound like a bad thing.
Let me tell you something. That is about the gayest thing in wrestling right now, with all due respect.
But one of you.
Yep, says hi.
God, I hate being the only woman on a show. Trust the coin. Save me.
Oh, I wish my friend Tony were on the show right now. You two could oogle over his abs.
No, thank you.
Is Fire on? I'm going to make her call. Cool. I'm going to give her a phone number, and I'm going to get her on here. We're going to brag about his abs all night. No, I won't do that to you.
Yeah, no.
I'll join you in that aspect because, never mind. Deuce got released.
Finally.
Oh, God.
Boo that man.
That is
no,
awesome.
I'll give him one better.
Whoa! Again, not surprising. They should have done the Jimmy Snuka Jr. with the second generation people, but no, Randy Orton had to cock block that one too, probably.
Yes, somebody with more work rate than Randy Orton.
No, the problem with Snuka Jr. would have had to have been face. So they couldn't use him.
Ah, well.
By the way, watch the dirt sheet. Cena, they did something with Cena and Saw.
Oh, God. All right. So any releases really shocking to you guys? None?
Not really.
Can't say I'm too surprised.
I mean, WWE has to cut costs somehow.
Mm-hmm. Right, but releasing Paul London and Gene Snitsky still has a job. I'm still figuring that one out.
Well, Paul London he's released from his wrestling contract. But you know what's interesting?
Mm.
He has a creative contract.
Okay, that I did not know.
Where's your source on that one?
If I can pull it up from WrestleCraft.com, go to the forums. I think Pro Wrestling Illust, PWI.
Okay, interesting. Now, I have a question to put out for the general audience as for the cost-cutting moves. As you know, SmackDown and I believe SmackDown was taped for 2 weeks this time around, correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Is this a one-time thing, or is this going to be a pattern to save cost?
This is a one-time thing because they were overseas. I really don't think it's something they're going to do on a regular basis. WCW tried it, and it did not work. 5 hours of wrestling is just too damn much in one night.
Yep. I hope it's a one-time thing, but you know what? Good for them.
I found the other two releases.
Okay.
Kenny Dykstra.
Oh, yeah.
Good to see you, Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny. Yeah, and by the way, he basically bitch slapped WWE on his blog this week. He tore him a new a-hole.
And then he took it down at the end of the day to chicken shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the biggest mistake, Elijah Burke.
Yeah, dumb. That was just wrong.
The guy has all the charisma in the world. He's an awesome talker. He's actually got some talent. I mean, he was the when it came to the New Breed. He was in danger of being the RVD of that group and the fact that it's supposed to be a heel faction, but we could cheer him.
Yes. Oh, by the way, just for the quote of Kenny Dykstra, by the way.
Okay.
He said this, and this was the actual quote. First, I would like to say thank you to everyone who left a comment or message and for the support. It is greatly appreciated. Believe it or not, I'm actually happy to be gone from WWE. I don't have to do things around their schedule and don't have to answer to anybody. I've never felt so free in my entire life. I had been working with WWE since I was 16, so I had never really known anything else. I did have fun with WWE, but the creative side never used me properly and gave me an opportunity to get over. Bullshit! I'll get to that in a minute. It sucks when you know you're better than the majority and only used to make people look good. Excuse me? Will I stay wrestling? I'm not sure. WWE kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth. After all the politics and garbage that can go on, I may try to go to TNA, but we'll see. I have 90 days to think about it and possibly try. Although I won't rule it out, I do feel like they can use me much better. I would like to have some magic with guys like AJ and Kurt and Joe and Christian, but Sting has always been my favorite, so to work with him would be great too. But I guess I will wait it out and see what direction I try to go in. As for WWE, I'm glad to be gone. I thank them for everything and wish them the best too. Take care, Kenny Doan. I have a couple words for you, Mr. Doan. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, you bitter son of a bitch.
Oh,
seriously.
He's too young for that kind of rhetoric. And oh, by the way, he got a free ride on TV for over a year in a high-profile feud. Granted, it was getting his ass booted all over television by DX, but he was the one guy that everybody recognized out of the Spirit Squad.
With that super leg drop finisher, if I'm not
mistaken.
With
that beautiful jackknife leg drop. Now, you realize the only Spirit Squatter left is Nick.
The natural Dirk Diggler, I have no penis, Nick, yes. Yeah, him, yeah.
Yeah.
But they lost
Johnny Jeter, who was the other guy that was really good with their group. He had been with WWE for at least 5 years, and they could never get him on TV till the Spirit Squad. And then when the Spirit Squad broke up, they ran out of ideas already.
And I'm telling you something, Kenny, with all due respect, you know, come on. You're how old? 19? 20?
22.
And 22 and you're bitter? Take off your Pampers and grow the fuck up. I mean, seriously. There are people who have been in this business for a long time and haven't had the opportunities that you have had. Seriously. This is just what makes me and fans and probably everybody else like you just go absolutely fucking nuts. These selfish, ungrateful sons of bitches. I mean, seriously. Right? Anybody? Disagree?
Yeah, well, of course. All of you guys wanted a shot at Mickie James.
and maybe John Cena already did the five knuckle shuffle with him, but you know, you never know. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Block's innuendo count has been bumped up to 3.
There we go. Thank you. So I think we got 20 minutes left on this candle, I believe.
Yes. Now, the plans are some Room 101. We will do Room 101 then in the archives. We will talk more about the releases. Well, we will talk about more about the finances, but we need to get Room 101 in.
All right.
Jason, we have a caller.
Oh, we do?
Caller, hello.
Hello, Robert.
Hello?
Hello, Rob. Seidelman?
Hi, who is this?
I'm such a big fan of yours, man. I've heard so much about you and Nikki Haman and all these awesome people on your awesome show. I just want to
you
call
freaking Mark!
Who is this?
This is the one they call the webmaster.
Oh, Tyler Brown.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's an applause or something. Jeez. I'm on the
No. Only this sound on my soundboard works.
That's not nice.
Drop my Christmas card list, Seidelman.
That sound effect came as soon as he showed the graphic for the Triple
actually
H gets
worse.
Signing.
It gets
and
worse,
yet,
Rob. You're getting Jillian Hall CD for Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Good, I needed a new coaster.
You know what? It takes talent to actually sing that bad. So I'm serious. It actually
yes.
does.
Ask Don Johnson.
Oh!
Heartbeat!
Looking for a heartbeat!
I have nothing heavy or cheap enough to throw at you, Mr. Seidelman.
Heavy enough or cheap enough?
Yeah, like a cordless
correct.
Phone. You would know about that, wouldn't you, Nikki?
Give me a minute, I gotta go find mine.
Alright, moving on. Jason, since you seem to be all riled up, I want you to get riled up again on Room 101.
Alright.
Tyler, here's how it works. The panelists and myself will bring up an object, we will discuss it, and if it's bad enough to be put into Room 101, we will put it into Room 101. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. This particular personality and has been a bane of my existence for at least 25 years. This person has soiled wrestling because he has never done it in 25 years. And now he and his celebu-spawn have been around VH1 for God knows how long, and now CMT. The man who I'm talking about is the known steroid abuser, Hulk Hogan.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
Right, exactly.
And your son's a complete douche.
Yes. I mean, look, he has given professional wrestling, in my opinion, a bad name. He brought it to the mainstream, but at what cost? Okay. He's absolutely terrible.
Just look at his son. That's all that needs to be said, really.
You want to help me out, guys? Yes? No?
Yeah, I'm perfectly agreeing with this. I mean, yeah, I mean, I used to be one of the Hulkamaniacs who was always like, oh, my God, Hulk Hogan. But in reality, you know, you're just looking at him now and going, you know, you remember the Hulk Hogan of the 80s, and everyone loved him. It was Hulkamania and all this stuff. And then the 90s and then the 2000s, he came and went, and he was in WCW, then he went on to WWE, and he's in the New World Order, and then he was the face, and this, that, and the other. And I was all for him all the whole time because he was Hulk Hogan. But now, seeing what he's done and hearing some of the conversations he's had with his own son that were made public about how he was, you know, wanting to turn his son's incarceration into some big reality show and this, that, and the other. Thank God Bischoff Hervey was busy with another project, or else Bischoff Hervey would be more hated and would also be going into Room 101. But besides the point...
get him in line.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to say that after everything your son has done to someone who we called a friend, to put him up in a coma, and then you want to talk to your son about cashing in on this experience and making it a reality show and, you know, making yourself and your son look like a martyr, you know, that's sick. And how dare you, as a human being who you're supposed to be, you know, Hulk Hogan, you know, not only the person, but in real life, you're supposed to be the guy that kids are supposed to look up to. Well, this is what kids are seeing as the new Hulk Hogan. Yeah, sure, lie and, you know, cash in on someone else's misfortune. Well, I'm sure it's not the only first time in the wrestling business, but this is the first time. Well, not the first time, but this is a pretty sick example of, you know, what fame can do to people and, you know, how, you know, every time that Nick was talking to either his wife, to Hogan's then-wife, Linda, or to Hogan himself, you know, was always, how can you get me out? Oh, poor me, you know. And Hogan's going along with it. You know, you're supposed to tell your son, you know what, yes, you committed this crime, but I'm, you know, just because I'm Hulk Hogan, I should not use my privileges, quote-unquote, as a celebrity to be able to get you out of this situation.
Right.
Oh, it gets worse.
Man.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Just recently,
worse.
He just sold the trademarks to his name. The Hulk Hogan name, rights, and everything to Vince's best friend in the whole wide world.
Bischoff?
Yep.
Oh. But getting back to the Hogan and Nick thing, what pissed me off even more is that one of those conversations was how Hogan was telling Nick, don't worry about it, it's your friend's fault for not having his seatbelt on. Well, yeah, it was both y'all's freaking fault for being out there street racing in the first place.
Wah, wah.
And also buying beer for you for your underage son, you fucking moron. Thank you.
On top of teaching him how to drive before he was old enough to have a license, he had a suspended license by the time he was 16, for crying
right.
out loud.
I think what I need to do is, to lighten up the mood, I need to play this not edited commercial for the WrestleMania video game.
Like an 80s commercial, but I Rob, I think your hand's on the handle. I see that.
This is kind of iffy because he has made a lot of money for the business. He's brought a lot of people into wrestling. And to be quite honest, when I was young, I was a Hulkamaniac.
I'm a strong one. I admit that. That's cool.
I also need to bring up his AWA work, which was really good. See the way Vern lifted him? Actually, if it wasn't for his work in the AWA, he would have quit wrestling. That's what he said. If it wasn't for the AWA, he'd quit wrestling.
Okay.
God, this is tough. He was part... He pretty much revitalized WCW when he turned heel. His current stuff is... He also killed I think his news stories killed American Gladiators.
And also, his guaranteed contract was part of the reason why WCW failed.
Yeah.
And lost $80 million in its last year. Okay. And also his backstage politics. How many times has he gone to Vince and said, I mean, look at the story he put out last year. I wanted to be the one to retire Ric Flair. It's all about him.
Right.
If you can't do it, that's okay.
I can't do it. I can't put Hulk Hogan into Room 101. There's certain aspects of him I could put into Room 101, but Hulk Hogan's entire body of work, which is what you're suggesting, I cannot.
Yes. Oh, all right. Okay.
So you're going to have to take that home. You're going to take this cardboard cutout with you.
All right,
and
fine.
We're going to give you a three-disc set, Hulk Hogan's Greatest Hits.
Oh, God.
His movies. The Secret Agent Club, Mr. Nanny, Thunder in Paradise 1 and 2. There you go.
Didn't even get the best Hogan movie, aside from Rocky 3, Suburban Commando.
This was meant to be a gag prize, dude.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's this great cinematic work. The Undertaker, Hogan, and Christopher Lloyd.
Whose house just burned down?
How could you go wrong?
Yeah.
How could you go wrong?
So Hulk Hogan's not going in. I'm gonna do one right now. Not many of you will know this. Herb Abrams, UWF.
Promotion that didn't make a mockery out of professional wrestling.
But it did make the world turn.
Is this the one with, like, the point system and stuff?
No, that was the AWF.
Okay.
UWF is with Herb Abrams. As I'm trying to come up with something decent. Oh, yeah, here it is. This is the one with David Sammartino saying, what was that thing again?
Doesn't make a mockery out of professional wrestling.
Yes. The only professional wrestling organization that doesn't make a mockery out of the sport of professional wrestling.
Okay.
It's a mockery by having David Sammartino in it.
Oh, jeez.
Ouch.
Well, here is Mr. David Sammartino to tell us all about it.
The only wrestling organization that doesn't make a mockery out of professional wrestling.
Thank you, David Sammartino. And Paul, think about it.
I've never seen this, so I can't comment one way or the other.
Nor can I.
Nor I. There were only a handful of highlights, mainly Lou Albano and John Tulos, who was the coach for Mr. Perfect.
And the exciting color commentary between Bruno Sammartino and Craig DeGeorge.
I've spent weeks trying to forget that stuff.
Juplex.
And apparently Herb Abrams' apparent boner for Paul Orndorff. If we... Oh, by the way, you gotta listen to Paul Orndorff's theme song. Yes, he had MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This as a theme song.
Good, okay.
I couldn't hear it.
I couldn't hear it, but you know what? Any wrestler who uses You Can't Touch This as a theme song, the Federation should just go in there automatically. Sorry.
Yeah.
Paul. Oh, and by the way, they also did a show at Universal Studios right outside Nickelodeon.
So there were
more.
Slimed?
No, but I can tell you right now there were more people watching it get the picture taping than there were watching the wrestling outside.
Ooh.
Ouch. Yeah.
Ooh. Good night.
Good night.
However,
goodbye.
It could be worse. However, it could be worse. It could be a make the grade taping.
Regardless.
Oh.
Just pull the handle and get over. Get it over with.
Yeah. Bye bye, Herb Abrams.
Okay.
As much as I love Make the Grade, it wasn't. It was like the Nick Game Show for nerds.
Even nerds need a little love.
Don't we all?
Well, unless they make a pilot version out of Revenge of the Nerds.
Speaking of which, Batista is the lead guy, Lewis. Because he rapes a woman, and we're still supposed to think of him as the hero.
I ain't touching it.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, programming note, next week is a 2-hour show. Special start time of 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Which means only one thing, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll forget and I'll come in late.
Besides that.
No. It means we're going to be doing America's fastest growing quiz sensation.
Ooh.
Are you smarter than a wrestling fan?
Oh, God.
No.
Where's my phone? Where's
no,
my phone?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's around the horn.
Yay, thank goodness.
You are so lucky. I had it in my hand, and I was going to throw it. Titleman, duck. Anyway,
I am ducking.
Smart man.
All right. On that note, around the horn, we will be doing... the big pick'em breakdown for Survivor Series. That should be interesting. And I just saw a picture of Jeff Hardy's... Shut up! Let's see what else here. Yeah, Jeff Hardy's new mask thing. Yeah, it is Saw-ish. So thus, I immediately thought towards... heel, which should be interesting to say the least. However, I should point out about Kenny Dykstra. Didn't he have 2 strikes?
No, I don't think he ever. If he got busted once, I'd be surprised.
I cannot remember.
He had none that I'm aware of.
None that I'm aware of.
I remember reading it somewhere that he had a strike or two. However,
it was mostly backstage stuff because he was bitching and whining and moaning just like that blog.
And so now we're in archives.
Whoops, we forgot to say goodnight, everyone. Oh, well.
The only great rumor I heard this week was that Kendrick had went to Vince and apologized and basically raked Paul London over the coals, and that's how we got the Brian.
Okay.
And you're not going to believe this, Nikki.
Okay.
As soon as we went off the air, Trista signed on.
Wow.
Figures.
I'd like to put something in the room if at all possible. Can we count promo skills that are worse than most people? Like comically bad, not bad, bad?
Are you talking about bad promos or bad promo wrestlers?
Bad promo wrestlers, the bad skills they have.
Well, I guess, well, that's all due for, see, it's really hard to cut a promo, you know, not for nothing. It can be done. I mean, for example, I could just say that Nikki Hayman is just living on the fact that she's living off her uncle's name, that she couldn't make it in the real wrestling business because she has the wrestling managing skills of an aardvark. The fact that she can't get out of Ohio has nothing to do with the fact that she can't even find a road map, you know, things like that.
Well,
Mr. Block, you're towing a line.
I'm just doing the wrestling thing.
I know.
I'm not shooting on Nikki. I'm just saying it can be done. Trust me. But see, I've seen what Nikki looks. She can kick my ass. Trust me, okay? I'm scared. But it can be done if you know what you're doing, you know? Certain wrestlers don't want to improve. Then you get the Kenny Dykstras who bitch and moan for 20 years.
How about Teddy Hart?
Oh, yeah. Teddy Hart, who is willing to kill himself at the age of 23 but can't cut a promo for shit. You know?
Hold on. I'm getting some information from above. Teddy, this? Okay.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
Teddy Hart, room 101.
Oh, God.
And he jumped.
Yeah, into room 101, yes.
Yes. Speaking on that note, Hogan didn't go in. Herb Abrams, UWF, went in.
Yes.
This one I will hold off for later because this is going to bring up some interesting stories.
Okay.
Fourth, what's yours?
Now that I think about the promo stuff, I'm not really going to go with that. I would like to put in Warriors WCW run if that's at all possible.
Oh, done. Fuck yeah.
Whoa. Which years?
Is 98. Run? 98. That's right, 1 year. Not even the whole year, just a few months.
No, 3 months.
Of 1998? Okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah. Ultimate Warrior came in August 15th. He came in right after Bill Goldberg won the world title.
I would add the entire career of the Ultimate Warrior myself.
Seconded.
I will throw in everything after his first run.
Wrong. You put in everything. He was a steroided, jacked up freak who was worse than anything. I mean, put it to you this way. Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6, I believe I counted 6 total wrestling moves. 6.
Hogan did 5.
Yes.
Precisely.
And if you want, I mean, and there's been a lot of egos in wrestling, but I would think that the Ultimate Warrior is up there in the top 2 are top three of the most insane egos of all time.
I will agree with you on that one. And however, I do have a deep connections with the LGBT community. A lot of my friends fall into that category.
Yeah.
He really got to me when he made this statement. Queering don't make the world work.
Queering don't make the world work. He said this, right?
Yes, at a college lecture. I think this was, I forget which college it is.
Connecticut, I believe it was, something like that.
Yeah, Connecticut College.
The College Republicans meeting?
Democrat.
Like that? Oh, Democrat. Oh, God.
Oh!
Do
I even need to hesitate?
No. Pull that lever hard.
Jim Hellwig, Ultimate Warrior, on behalf of the LGBT community, fuck you.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I will say this. As soon as you heard him say, let me come down off my politically correct horse, your thumb and forefinger were pressing the bridge of your nose firmly going, oh no. This can't be good.
Of course. Typho, go with yours.
Okay, well, with mine, let me just set the stage a little bit here. I'm taking you back, taking you all the way back to the early stages of 2007. If you can remember that far back.
I'm fine.
What we were seeing was the birth of a new era of wrestling. What we got was the abortion of the new era of wrestling. That new era of wrestling was called Wrestling Society X. And the aborter was MTV. What MTV did with their new series was let it run for about 2 weeks before they pulled the plug and ran them all in a freaking marathon at like 1 a.m. on a Saturday night where no one would see it. And, they never even ran the big season finale that they put over for all of 9 episodes that preceded it. I mean, God forbid we don't find Paris Hilton's new BFF, and who knows what other time we're wasting it by putting Wrestling Society X on the air for 30 minutes. Maybe we need a couple more seasons of My Super Sweet 16, whatever the hell it is. But you see what happened here? Well, you took what was a fun, fast-paced wrestling show that could have made a little noise in the wrestling world, and you killed it. Thanks, MTV. Bastards.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal with this. I will throw in MTV. Actually, you know what? I won't, and I'll tell you why. Because MTV and the connection to wrestling, if you remember, MTV has shown wrestling cards before and has had a connection with them. Back in the early 80s, they did, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the war to settle the score.
Yes. Okay. They did do that. So, look. If you want to put in the MTV for fucking up Wrestling Society X from a scheduling perspective, fine. But the show itself, it had its moments. I mean, but when you had a wrestling announcer who was screaming like this all the time, I can't even do it and just hurts my voice.
Fabian Kalen?
Yeah, that stupid son of a bitch. No, I mean, I'm sorry, because he gives wrestling announcers a bad name. He really did. And when you had, like, massive, stupid sound effect, you know, special effects for wrestling, you know, like exploding caskets and perron. Who's clapping?
I am.
Okay.
I have, because you're hitting on the point that I was going to get to, why I called it Wrestling Silliest Explosions.
Yes, exactly. You didn't, okay, and when you had people thrown into piranha tanks, they were set pieces. They weren't wrestling stunts. The show, you know, I'm going to actually throw in the Wrestling Society X. Except it did give us Evan Bourne, a.k.a. Matt Sydal, a.k.a. Matt Classic, correct?
No.
Colt Cabana
was Matt Classic.
Okay. But Matt Sydal
was Matt Sydal.
But Matt Sydal was on that show, but it also had X-Pac, so I don't know if that balances out at all. The fact that X-Pac was actually getting the title shot and not Sydal really pisses me off.
It had New Jack, so take that for what you will.
Also, it was ran by the guys who ran XPW.
So,
which means it should have been a better product because, I'm sorry, WSX is to WWE is what Slam Ball was to the NBA.
Win.
Harsh.
Win.
Of course.
That is just unbelievable. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I want to bounce the damn thing off a trampoline into a box of light tubes. Goodbye.
Am I going to put MTV pulling WSX into Room 101?
Well, let me ask. Is it MTV and the show, or is it just MTV for Killian? What's the original?
No, I would never put Wrestling Society X in. I loved it.
So you were the one.
I bought the DVD set the day it came out.
I bought the WSX DVD set, and I bought it for my friend Tony for Christmas. Needless to say, he orgasmed.
Okay.
It was either that or the Nintendo that I gave him.
I think it was the Nintendo.
MTV has done a whole bunch of shitty stuff. Like pulling idiot savants.
Yeah. You know, I actually worked on that show, but that's another show for another time.
I loved Idiot Savants.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks. However, I was hardly a fan of WSX, mainly because I hate Chris Kloss. I hate Larry Rivera, who are two of the worst announcers of all time. I'll make a deal with you, Typho. I will throw in MTV for pulling WSX if you allow me to throw WSX in.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
As long as MTV dies a painful death on the way down. Maybe
that
in a piranha
tank.
That sounds
like a horrible car accident to me.
Well, it will if it answers Braden Walker's knock knock.
So, recap, we threw in Think Like a Cat, Herb Abrams UWF, Teddy Hart, The Ultimate Warrior, and once again, Hellwig, fuck you.
Don't sugarcoat it for us.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be raped by Orlando Jordan.
Oh!
Burn!
Ow, that hurts. I need to sit down.
That's what Ultimate Warrior would be saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But he wouldn't be able to sit down.
Let's hope. Hey,
And WSX. And now we go to fourth.
I was the one that suggested Ultimate Warrior, but I...
Oh, sorry, never mind. Nikki, we go to you.
Okay, I'm going to modify mine a little bit. Jason, I know we talked about it earlier, but I've had a slight change of heart.
Okay, go for it.
I'm throwing in Vince McMahon, the character. I was thinking of throwing Vince McMahon, period, in there, but
So you're talking Mr. McMahon, we're talking here.
Yes.
Okay.
The reason I'm not throwing Vince McMahon himself in there, I will sum it up into four words. Tribute to the troops.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I cannot in good conscience throw the man in there. I can't do that.
And I will add another four. Make a Wish Foundation.
Yes,
absolutely.
I will tell you a very, very quick story. One of the first things that happened to me was after I won the $125,000 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was I got to do the introduction for the Rosie O'Donnell Show. That's not the story per se. One of the people in the audience, the very first autograph I ever signed, and I did sign a lot during the days, there was a seven-year-old cancer patient whose wish was to see the Rosie O'Donnell Show. And I got to sign an autograph for this person that I will never forget. I believe it was a girl. And you realize that the Make-A-Wish Foundation does this for thousands of people a year. And one of the biggest guys, love him or hate him, is John Cena, who does tons and tons of stuff for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So Vinnie Mac, on the business side, the real Vince McMahon gives a thumbs up for me for Tribute to the Troops and Make-A-Wish Foundation. Sorry.
Now let's get to Vince McMahon, the character.
Everything that man has done since about 2003 has put me to the point that I actually want to turn wrestling off or just mute him. I'll give him points for the shock value the night the limo blew up. And I wish he had stayed off television. Unfortunately, there was a small incident a couple of months later that just made his little stunt look really, really stupid.
Actually, the one that made it stupid, if you remember, was Sensational Sherry a week later.
Yeah.
That's true.
That made it worse.
Okay. Chris Benoit just put it, just torched the angle completely. But if you remember, Sensational Sherry died a week after the, I believe it was a week or two. Was it 1 week or two, guys? I don't remember exactly.
Week and a half, actually.
Okay.
She died on a Friday. Her body was found on Monday. The autopsy came out a few months later because where she was, it was slow to get them.
Right, and what happened was is that it was not even acknowledged on WWE TV at that
point. It was acknowledged.
Well, not to the point where it should have been, okay?
Yeah.
And, ugh.
And this is the one, he is the low point of the Rumble to Mania quarter. I don't want to see him. I know he seems to have this compulsion that he has to be involved in WrestleMania in a physical sense, that he actually has to be out there performing, as in the ring, trying to do stuff. And that's not what I buy WrestleMania for.
What was he involved in WrestleMania 24? He wasn't.
Oh.
Not this year, and this is the first year out of 24 years of this.
He wasn't involved in 20.
Or 21, because he blew his quads out.
But WrestleMania 22, he fought Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
That was a great match.
WrestleMania 23, his match, which was nothing but a garbage match and made Umaga and Bobby Lashley trivia questions, was hyped more than Undertaker, Batista, and Cena, Shawn Michaels. And I don't care how much money Donald Trump was involved in or how much money Vince McMahon paid him to be involved in it. That's not fair to the performers that are there 300 days a year.
You know what? In all reality, you all are making great points, but if you really want to sum up, why to put the Mr. McMahon character, his time as ECW champion. I mean, the worst part, I think, I almost
forgotten that. The night he walked through and made fun of the originals almost made me put my fist through the television.
No, no, no. To me, that didn't even do it. While I'm a great fan of ECW, that did boil me a little bit. But what pissed me off was I don't know if many people remember this. John Cena was walking by the production truck, and Mr. McMahon was marching around, you know, a little bit more cockier than usual, because this was after he was bald and he had the do-rag and the ECW champion. And he looks at John Cena straight in the eyes and says, "What up, Ma?" And then he uses the N-word. And a lot of people, he didn't fully say it, but you could tell he was trying to, you know, say it in the hip-hop manner or whatever. And that kind of boiled me a little bit right there. Because he was talking to John Cena. I mean, even though John Cena's not black, it's still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I thought we didn't call that stuff.
I'm with you, but really the fact that he had the ECW title and then he went and pretty much pissed on all four of the originals.
Right.
I really
think
which
is now down to one.
Well, yeah, for various reasons, and Rob wasn't kicked out, he walked away. And I've heard since they're thinking about making the marijuana rule stricter. He's not going to go back to WWE because he's like, well, dude, I'm not going to, you know, he's infringing on his rights, even though marijuana still isn't legal yet, Zen Meister. Come on.
In Michigan, it is.
Yep.
Did he get approved in Massachusetts, too?
Here's what's happened with that one. Michigan legalized medicinal marijuana.
And didn't they remove it from a felony to a misdemeanor, I believe?
No.
It's a civil offense.
No, it's different. You can carry, if you have less than an ounce on you, you get a $100 fine, and they take your weed.
And they smoke it, and they have a Rob Van Dam time. 420, baby.
Well, I just, you know, like I said, the one thing that hurt me the most was when Vince stood there and mocked all the originals.
Right.
Isn't it bad enough that they were using a replica prop belt for ECW
right.
at the time, that Vince wouldn't put the money or the wherewithal to get them a real belt?
Right.
And then he pissed on them. He pretty much pissed on them, to their faces. If the fact the camera wasn't on, Sabu would have jumped Vince McMahon and kicked his sorry ass. He wouldn't have cared if he gotten fired in jail that night.
Right.
One of the more heinous things that Vince McMahon did, the Mr. McMahon character, that really kind of bothered me from a misogynistic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Was when he made Trish Stratus bark like a dog.
However, we got the classic Polly line that night.
Which was?
Hey, Mom! I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to get to see Bush!
dear, Uncle Paul.
Uncle Polly.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know what? I think... And this all comes back to the Vincent Kennedy McMahon versus Mr. McMahon sort of dichotomy. Because with all due respect to Vince, Vince is an absolute egotistical prick. He is, okay? But, and here's the deal with this. That brings Mr. McMahon on screen, and it goes with the idea that, you know, you can't, you know, with Shane and Stephanie, you know, it's all ego, and I agree, the Mr. McMahon character has gone stale, it's not fresh, throw it in.
What I'm going to do here is I'm going to play probably his best thing that he's done this year.
Oh, I have a feeling I know what it is.
Here it is.
Please enjoy the music until your party answers the phone.
I do it.
That is so wrong.
Rickroll!
What made that was not just the Rickroll, but the second time when Jamal picked up the phone, stupid.
Whose dog is that?
That's mine.
Kick him.
My dog is hardcore, damn it.
It takes pissing to the extreme.
I will be right back and need something to drink.
Mr. McMahon in room 101.
Yeah,
his
best stuff was against Austin.
He also had some good stuff in 2000 against Triple H. And when he went on, he gave us many memorable sound bites. I'm your genetic jackhammer.
Yep, and I've got testicles the size of grapefruit.
That alone. Plus, I'm a fan of Mr. McMahon, the character.
Oh, Nikki, you can't keep Hogan and McMahon out. They're still together, aren't they?
So I can't put Mr. McMahon into room 101.
Why not?
Because I'm your genetic jackhammer. Wait, that's Bear. Never mind.
Wait, he mocks God. He mocks God.
Thank you, Joey Styles.
Oh,
I found
God.
That funny. So what we're gonna do?
Go ahead.
So what we're gonna do is you're gonna take this Mr. McMahon cutout from you. This classic 1990s. Pompadour, blue jacket, Vince McMahon cardboard cutout with you.
Is he dressed for the stand back video?
Yes.
That was the 80s.
He said 80s.
I said 90s.
If you press his breast pocket, you go, what a maneuver. And
back, body drop.
Yes. And we're also going to give you the McMahon DVD. 5-disc edition.
Oh God. Yes, with every script of the infamous incest angle. Good God. Yuck.
Tell you what, I want to trade in the cutout, the cardboard standee, for something a little more appropriate. Do you have a Vince McMahon fat head?
Or do you like Fox? The same.
Wade.
Yes.
They didn't get him in the room, but I still won.
By the way, you know, I believe they do have WWE Fathead. For real.
They do.
They do, but they don't have a Vince McMahon one yet.
Okay, when did Randy Orton dress Kozlov?
Ever since Kozlov headbutted Orton off that motorbike.
No wonder he went 300 yards.
Oh, jeez.
Kozlov was out looking for a challenge.
Hey, that takes ten point timing.
Mm. So Rob, who was that the most challenging one this week? The Mr. McMahon, or was there someone else?
Here's the last one, and VRM. I'm doing this last because I know we're going to have some great stories out of this one because one of the panelists was there.
All right. For the second time in a little under a year, TNA ventured out of the Impact Zone for a pay-per-view.
Oh, what?
St. Charles, Missouri was home to a couple of gooker-worthy matches, and a gimmick that's sort of been getting a little old. Ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration, every war ends in the cage at Lockdown 2007.
Somebody is aiming in my direction. I was there.
I don't know what was worse, the electrified cage or the reverse cage?
The reverse cage?
I chalk up the reverse cage to the, you know, to like the King of the Mountain reverse ladder match. I blame that on Russo, and he's already in room 101, so I'm not worried about that.
He's the head of room 101.
Speaking of Russo, I was worried for a moment when I heard Kurt Angle use the words "worked shoot" on Impact.
Ooh. Now, if it'll make you feel any better, I could have taken out Vince Russo when I was in St. Louis.
And why didn't you?
There were too many cameras.
Ah, okay.
All right.
And IWs and the internet wrestling community is a generally broke population. I don't think they could have scratched up my bail. But he was right there at the front doors of the hotel talking to somebody. I could have been a hero. I could have been a hero.
If you did manage to get off, it would be like a medal ceremony in Star Wars.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie that came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And a TV show.
Wow.
Like Spaceballs the series.
My soundboard went down.
Oh, your soundboard fell into the room, damn it. Now you're going to have to open the door and go get it. Don't let anybody
out.
Hold
on, I got to fix.
But,
let's see, what else can I tell you was goofy about this pay-per-view?
No, the electrified cage, was that LAX Dudley's? Was that?
Yes.
Now, was this the one with the cheesy sound effects too?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
The misplaced sound effects.
It sounded even stupider live, trust me. Live and in person, you could hear it.
Was this also the blindfold match too, the one that
yes.
you said?
Oh,
yes. God.
And I've even got a story that goes with that. After the pay-per-view, since we just completely shit on the match, the crowd in general was shitting on the match. Cowboy James Storm was in the back room between the hotel proper and the restaurant, drinking and blaming us for that match sucking. Grumbling about the stupid marks. Sorry, guys. That was the slowest, most tedious blindfold match I've ever seen. Even Triple H D'Lo made a blindfold match more entertaining than that. Now, the kicker to this pay-per-view, you notice the weird cage that they used all night? TNA personnel forgot to pack 6 sizes of steel for their all cage pay-per-view.
No!
Oh, fail!
That is epic fail.
Sparky.
Your soundboard is down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said that
again,
5 minutes ago.
Sorry. But yes, this was the epic fail of the pay-per-view. And I, along with the fine fan group known as the Midwest Jobber Association, will never let TNA live this down.
Okay.
I'll give you a little bit about this group. The Midwest Jobber Association is a group of guys in Illinois, who travel almost as much as I do and do their own recruiting. They have their own T-shirts. I am a proud member of this organization. So is Sean Matthews.
Okay.
He's a jobber. And these guys actually saved me from having the absolute shittiest weekend on the road.
Well, after hearing about a pay-per-view like that, good God. Good Lord.
Yeah, the FanFest was worth it because we actually got to sit down and talk to Hector Guerrero.
All right.
We got to talk to him a little bit. We passed on our sympathies about Eddie. I felt bad that I didn't have the picture with me, a tribute photo that I built pretty much the day of or the day after we lost Eddie Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd had a copy to give Hector that day. Essentially a shot of Eddie up on the corner at the first one-night stand, and behind him you can see the upper balcony with about a dozen WWE performers looking down on him. Across the top it reads, "We're not even in your league."
Yep, pretty much truth.
So,
I know somebody on the Wrestle Crowd forums that has a signature like that. A whole bunch of the WWE wrestlers at that time looking up to him.
And by the way, for those who, and I'm not showing, there is the 3-disc Viva La Raza set that I believe comes out this coming Tuesday.
There's a 7-disc one at Best Buy.
I'm sorry?
It's already out.
Seven.
And there's, yeah, it's a 10 that we saw when I was over looking at DVDs because a friend of mine was looking for Undertaker matches, and we came across the 10. The 10 is sweet.
Isn't that the one with One Night Stand 05? What else? I forget.
No, this has the first Eddie DVD set.
Cheating Death, Stealing Life, that one?
Yes. No Way Out 05.
04.
Yeah, 04. And
when he won the title.
Raw Tribute Show.
Yes, and by the way, unfortunately, Chris Benoit was exercised from those DVDs.
No.
And I will not spend a dime on them.
Hmm.
I will not spend a dime on them if that's what they're going to do because Benoit and Eddie were inseparable on the road. That's not fair to either one of them. In fact, I would like the editing of Chris Benoit out of any WWE video. That concept needs to be in Room 101.
Sorry, I disagree with. Sorry, I disagree with that one totally. See, you and I, Nikki, I'm going to disagree with this one for the end, and I'll tell you why. I agree in the sense of this, okay? I understand where you're coming from. However, I know you can, but the majority of the wrestling public cannot separate the wrestler from what he did. You can't do it. You know.
To that, I still say you cannot erase history. He existed.
Here's my take on.
He happened.
Here's the thing. He's not being edited out of the box sets. The Survivor Series box set. He's not getting edited out of. When they make it in 2009, they didn't edit him out of the SummerSlams, the Royal Rumbles, or... Well, he didn't need to be edited out of the WrestleMania box because he was still alive at the time. Because that was 2006.
I'm not disagreeing with your point of view, okay?
Okay.
I'm just looking at it from a bigger picture here. Okay.
There is no bigger picture. You cannot erase history. He existed. You cannot erase him from existence.
Lady, gentlemen, if I may.
Uh-huh. All right.
When it comes to that sort of thing, at the time, it was the right thing to do.
Well, we're coming up on 18 months. We can stop now.
And this is coming from a guy who owns WWE, who has WWE 24/7, and actively watches the Nitros and the Raws that air at the time.
And you actually can sit there and it not bother you that they say that this footage with Chris Benoit on it was destroyed. They're lying to you.
I caught that afterwards. During the time we're at now, they just skip over it because at that time, it was not of historical significance. Where they're at now, Benoit until 4 months of tapes is, I hate to say it, not of historical significance. That is 8 months. This is before he gets a sniff of singles gold. This is before he gets into this DDP Raven storyline. 8 months from now would be near. 8 months from now would be the second anniversary. In my opinion, then is when you bring him back.
What, you're saying 2 years is enough?
I thought 1 year was.
Two is fine, but don't hype him. You just air the footage, it's like nothing happened. You wait 5 years. Because the wrestling fan base is very cyclical. If they have you, they have you for life. If you're not in, then it's going to be very cyclical and you'll be done with it in a few years. I believe in 2012, 2013, it will be done. That'd be 5-6 years.
You think it'll be that quick? You really do?
5-6 years?
Yeah. Because let me tell you something, okay? And don't get me wrong here, and yes, I'm a cynical bastard when I say this. There's going to be somebody that we have even no clue about that's going to do something really stupid with drugs. Okay? Do you think, well, let me ask this question. Do you think Benoit is the tipping point where some wrestler will not, well, you know, I mean, look, you had Jeff Hardy be suspended twice. You had William Regal. Davey Boy Smith, for crying out loud, his son got caught with steroids, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
I'm just saying to you that some wrestler will think of themselves invincible, okay? Love him or hate the son of a bitch, Phil Mushnick was right at the time. Phil Mushnick, years before this became the Chris Benoit issue, was chronicling the fact that wrestlers were dying way too young.
Mm.
Okay? The fact of the matter is that Chris Benoit may be the tipping point to something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I understand your passion for the guy, for the wrestler, but there are some people that cannot separate the two. I know you can, and I respect that you can. I think some people cannot.
That's not the point I'm trying to make, Jason. I'm saying that you are giving Vince McMahon free rein to erase somebody from existence, no matter what they did in life or death. So that means that Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith, Eddie Guerrero, Owen Hart should be erased from history because they're dead. Because that's what you're saying.
Whoa. Nikki.
Wrong jump. Okay.
Really wrong jump with Owen Hart there. It has to document Owen Hart never did anything. I don't think he even took steroids. His death was pure accident.
Okay. and he has never been erased from history, okay?
Neither has Davey Boy Smith.
But you're giving Vince McMahon permission to do that with Chris Benoit, saying
well,
it's okay to erase him, because that's what he's been doing for the last 18 months.
I don't think we're going to get anywhere tonight.
Not to be an ass, but can we get back to lockdown?
Yeah, okay.
Please.
Sorry.
Please.
Sorry.
No, we're fine. I just...
No. This is a discussion. Passionate discussion. Nothing more, nothing less. No person... Come on. It's all good. But
I know.
Okay. Lockdown. How bad were the matches?
The matches themselves were... I didn't think the matches were that bad. The blindfold match was a huge dump. The electrified cage match was a stupid concept to begin with. The women's cage match was very good. Lethal Lockdown wasn't bad, although, admittedly, a cameraman almost died in that particular instance when AJ took his header. And somebody else almost got killed when Rhino Gord, I think it was Tom, came through the cage door, and the lock went flying.
Whoops. That's not good.
Let's see. What else did we have? The X-Gate match, despite the stupid concept, was not a bad match. Now, that wasn't the reverse cage. They were actually in there. He fought till he got to the last two, and then he climbed out, which I'm okay with.
What was the reverse cage? The women going into the cage or something like that?
No.
I got that.
Who had the reverse cage?
That was
Lockdown 08.
I confused you guys. Sorry.
No, you're fine. The women's match was good. The legal lockdown was good. Like I said, it just got a little dangerous. The blindfold match and the electrified cage match should just be, you want to delete some. No, I'm not even going to go there. These are matches you don't want to remember. We had history that night when the Dudleys took, granted the electrified cage match was horrible, but remember, history was made that night when the Dudleys won the NWA tag titles.
So, are you putting it in or not?
I would like to put it in just on the basis that they forgot the cage that is the signature of the pay-per-view. Because I'm sorry, that is the most Bush League thing that the number two league in this country has done. Next to hiring Vince Russo.
No, it's not the number two league, it's number three.
Okay, what's one and two?
One is WWE, two is Ring of Honor. Get it right. TNA has always been, they've always thought they were number two. They're not.
Ring of Honor won't be number two to me until they actually get their TV deal.
And with Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, they will. Because Adam Pearce wants TV. And I talked with Jason about this. I think we said that a good place for it would be Versus.
That's the going name that I hear.
Well, give it a shot, if Ring of Honor can get a TV deal, more power to them, because I think the Ring of Honor would be a great product. Anyway, TNA, for forgetting the ring, put it in. I agree, especially two crappy matches like that.
Plus, these were two matches that were up for Gooker. The blindfold match was up for Gooker.
I'm surprised it didn't win, but what was it up against?
The Hornswoggle storyline?
Yeah.
Which one?
What was that, the worst event of 07?
Yeah.
Wow.
I disagree with that, but that's okay.
Pac-Man?
That should have won.
Yes. Winning the tag team titles by without wrestling, yeah.
However, to be honest with you, it did come in number two. Actually, no, what did come in number two was Robert Roode versus Eric Young.
Hmm.
That was an ordeal.
the never-ending angle.
Which finally ended with Jarrett. When after he came back in Sacrifice 07, put over Robert Roode, he sauntered back away. Never to come back for another 16, 17 months. About Lockdown 07, I am going to put it in. And the world rejoices as I do this.
Cool.
I still have all the hard copies of my sounds.
So anyway, listen, guys, it's almost 1 a.m. on the East Coast. I need to get to bed. I will talk to you guys next week.
And I will talk to you, Jason.
I'm on the early shift. You guys are on the late shift. Tomorrow.
So you're with Gordon?
Yeah, I'm with Chico tomorrow. And also, by the way, I will be at an independent show tomorrow for Forgotten Championship Wrestling at the Brooklyn Lyceum. I'm hopefully going to get either an interview or an announcing tryout. So cross your fingers and toes, and hopefully it'll be a more permanent gig.
All right.
Good luck, man. You deserve it.
All right.
It.
We'll hope to see you on YouTube someday.
I hope so. Talk to you guys later.
We're already on YouTube with the Jeopardy episodes.
Yes, I know. And by the way, the charity involved is the Wounded Warrior Project, which, if you do not know what that is a charity that helps, I believe, people who have been in the Iraq War, and I believe that Afghanistan, who have been wounded in action to help adjust to life here. So
I have heard of that.
Yeah, it is a and the guy who is running it is a guy by the name of Tony Intellis, who's also the field service commander in the New York area for this particular Wounded Warrior Project. So check it out if you can. So FCWWrestling.net is the Fed I'm working with. So cross your fingers and toes. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. See you tomorrow, Jason.
Bye.
Night, Jason.
Okay. Nikki, I know you won't be here on Friday for Around the Horn and the first half of the other stuff because you are going to Ring of Honor.
That is correct. And, in fact, that whole weekend is going to be insane for me. Thursday I will be in Cincinnati working with Jimmy Wang Yang's PT Wrestling. Friday night is Ring of Honor. Saturday is HWA in HD. Sean Matthews will be working that, and I'll probably be crashing that party. Sunday is Survivor Series, and Monday I board a plane to Florida. And Tuesday I could potentially be sitting in the impact zone, but no guarantees.
You gotta bring an NAWC sign.
I'll do what I can. I don't even know if I'm going to do this or not. I've got to twist my best friend's arm into going over to Universal and getting in line. And I've been warned that I need to get there early. I don't see me getting over there till at least 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I think that'd be early enough. They don't 2 o'clock their time, right?
Yeah.
They don't tape till like 6.
Right, but I'm betting some of the regular wanks are out there at 8 o'clock in the morning. But we'll see.
Yeah, the regular TNA audience.
Well, they've got more seats now.
That's true. But what was there was something else. Oh, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I did get an interesting, message from a certain WWE ECW performer who has not been on TV for most of this year, that I might be seeing him again at the December 6th Insanity Pro Wrestling show. I will keep you guys posted.
Nice.
Cool.
I got in touch with him on WWE Universe of all places. go read his blog. He is doing this wonderful in-character, I don't want to call him rants,
If you could be serious for a moment.
No. I'll call them soliloquies because they are actually very, very poetic, very image-centric, which is appropriate for a follower of Vampirism. So you may now look him up.
Balls Mahoney.
He's a Satanist. That's different.
I think he's been released anyway.
Long since. But yeah, go check out his blog. It's some wonderful rhetoric. If he could do those in promos, I think he'd still be on TV. So gentlemen, I'm out because we've only got about 5 minutes left before Blog Talk says get off my lawn.
And the last thing I'm going to leave you with is Michelle Taker almost broke Maria's damn ankle and Festus just went nuts.
It's true.
She also is responsible for depushing Maurice and Natalia.
Maurice, I can
Victoria.
Natalia, well, she deserves. Natalia does get some retribution at some point, I hope. Oh, well.
Yes, by breaking Michelle McCool's entire body. Eat a cheeseburger, for God's sakes.
On that note, I'm out of here.
Or at least swallow what the Undertaker gives you.
I'm out. On that note, good night, gentlemen.
Bye, Nikki.
It does. It just comes up later.
Good night.
You're not enough for... Well, now, it's just the old Rest Scrap Crew, me, VRM, Typho, and Forth.
Right now, I've got the image of The Undertaker and Jeff Hardy, who had that weird makeup earlier.
Jigsaw, eat your heart out.
I'm just wondering... He's
already killed John Cena today, so who knows what else he can do.
Hi, I'm John Morrison, and I came in here today on a flying dragon.
I can't wait to see how far he goes with that stuff on scare sheet.
John Morrison is just greatness personified.
It'll be hard to ever top the Joan Rivers houseboat thing.
Or what about the $20 million baby pictures?
Yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't take the offer.
Well, I say we call it a night. We grossed out Nikki Haman. Her and Jason Block almost beat up each other tonight.
And
I got about 5 to 10 wrestlers who want to beat the ever-loving crap out of me.
Well, two people that were big for wrestling in the 80s avoided the room, but one didn't.
The ultimate! Fuck off. Seriously, the Ultimate Warrior needs to be stripped down, shackled, put into an X-frame, and have 20 guys just ramrod him in the back.
You hear this one voice. Ball game.
You see a bar of soap and a pack of hot dogs behind him.
Fabulous.
Final note, Quantum of Solace, awesome. Watch it.
Cool.
All right, good night, everyone.
Night.
See ya.
Night.
And thus we leave you with this.
Is it true? Could you really be calling me?
You can join the music until your party answers the phone. That's not my fault. Caller ID.